And I think that it's very important week of the year, maybe most important week of the year as far as our church and for what we have. And, you know, I just piggybacking on what he was talking about with the faith promise. I think most everybody in here gives the faith promise, but I can speak from personal experience that it is a worthwhile cause to get into. You know, I think that I probably started giving the faith promise when I was like 3. So that's been almost 27 years ago, and I've never missed any of it. And the fact to know that something I may have given led somebody to the Lord is more important to me than having that money, you know. And I think that if you can ever get a glimpse of how great God is and how he can use your small amount of money that you may think is small, then it'd be increase you to even give more. And if I could just encourage you to get in on that and start giving more. And if they talk about just giving $10 more a week for that's $5,200. I mean, if somebody did $20 more, I'd be over $10,000 extra that we could do. And you know, it all starts with just a little bit. And you know, you say, well, my $5 or $10 doesn't matter. Well, it does, because it all adds up. And we've seen that in the share-a-thons for the radio stations and just in our weekly offerings and things like that. So definitely encourage you to get involved in Faith Promise if you're not. And if you are, pray about giving an increase. I think I have an increase in mind. I'm figuring out what I'm going to do for the next year. And, you know, if you get paid a different schedule, you can give it monthly, biweekly. You don't have to give it every week. If you can't do that, you can spread it out for sure. And I give mine every month, but you don't have to do that. You can give it every other week, every week. It all works out as long as you give it. That's the most important part. And it's all God's money anyway. And we're just channeling out to go through that. And I think that if we remember that it's God's money, not ours, it makes it a lot easier to give. It's always easier to spend somebody else's money. That's what they say. And we're spending God's money, and he's going to keep sending it to us, and we can just filter it through. Then I think we can do that. And that's kind of what I want to talk about a little bit about today. And talk about the Great Commission and being how it's what our whole mission project's based on and what our missionaries a lot of times talk about. And, you know, it's something that I've been thinking about a little bit recently and just kind of thought some about. You know, we think about missions. We often imagine missionaries going across the sea, flying into oceans and jungles and going to all these unheard places that have never heard about Jesus Christ. And that's true, but missions is much more than just a few people getting on an airplane and going to Africa or to Asia or to Australia or something like that. The Great Commission is not just a private assignment for those people, but it's a shared assignment for all of us. It's not just their mission, it's our mission. It's not called the Great Suggestion, it's called the Great Commission. It's a great command. And Christ is going to work with us. And I've got to think about the word commission. You think about the word mission. Mission is something that somebody is called to do or sent forth to do. You think about people in the military, they go out on a mission and they're out there and they're doing it. Or, you know, you've got something to work that's a mission. But if you look at the word commission, it's a co-mission. And that's what we are. We're a co-mission. We have the great commission to do something. Our missionaries, they may be going, they have a mission to go to Africa. We may not have a mission to go to Africa, but we could have a mission to go to Orangeburg, or we could have a mission to go to our job. So we're co-missionaries with them. The a lot of times we hear about co-laborers together with Christ. A lot of missionaries have that on their prayer cards. When we think about us with the Fundamental Broadcasting Network, we're co-laborers with them, but we're also co-missionaries with them. If you think about it, the root word of commission is co. That means together. And while we may not go overseas, we may not even go out of our county, we can be a missionary right where we are in our own hearts and lives. And I think too often we think of the world as, you see, the Bible says, to go into all the world. We think about that as some far-reaching place, but Orangeburg is part of the world. Our jobs are part of the world. Our families are part of the world. The people we come in contact with are part of the world. And if we're not holding up our end of that commission, then we're disobeying God and what he's told us to do. And that's something I've really been thinking about lately is, am I expecting our missionaries to do something that I'm not willing to do here in my own heart and life? You know, we can be missionaries at home and have the comfort of our home and our family and our church. They have to uproot everything they have and go live somewhere else that they don't know. Think about Josh Sullivan. He's in a very hostile environment. He was kidnapped, abused, taken from his family. We don't have to worry about that here. And yet we're not bold enough to pass out a gospel tract or tell somebody about it, but we expect them to go do it. but we're not going to do it. And I want to talk about that today, how it's a co-mission that we have to be part of as well. The missionaries are not meant to serve alone. They need our prayer, support, and our partnership. And we're co-laborers with them, but we also have a job to do here at home. And part of that is faith promise, but also personal evangelism and reaching other people. And so let's look at Matthew chapter number 28, which is the Great Commission, a very familiar portion of Scripture. And every time I read this, I think about Brother William Strong, who used to read this every Sunday in Sunday school opening assembly. He talked about the Great Commission and encouraging us in missions. And I remember him reading this a lot. And, you know, it's, I think a little bit of times we get too familiar with it. But if we look at it, there's a lot of commands and there's a lot of promises and there's a lot of things that we need to do in here. And let's start in Matthew 28, verse number 18, read down to verse number 20. It says, "And Jesus spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." And that verse number 18 right there talks about the power that is given unto God, Jesus. That means he has all power. That what that means is he's going to indwell us to be able to fulfill this commission. I think it's interesting that Jesus said that he had power. He told them about his power before he told them what he wanted them to do. That was laying the foundation for what he was going to say. He knew that that was a daunting task that they had to take out and to do, but he said, "I've got all power and I'm going to be with you." And then verse number 20 says, "I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen." And so, I think that verse has a double meaning there. It says all the way to the end of the world. That means to the world ends, but it also means Jesus is going to be with us all the way to the end of the world as far as reaching people. We need to go to the ends of the world to reach people. Jesus said he's going to be with us to the end of the world. Yes, he is going to be with us to this world ends, but he's also going to be with us as we try to reach the end of the world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've got the best news that anybody had. You know, we think about the Catholic Church and all the things that they're wrapped up in. The Pope's dead. Jesus isn't dead, but the Pope is. And I'm glad that I can talk about a Savior who's living and alive. There's Catholics all around the world right now that are devastated and sad and distraught because the Pope went to heaven, which I don't think he did, but they talk about that, or he's in purgatory, wherever he is. But Jesus, my Savior, died, got up out of the grave, and he is in heaven, and he's alive more than he ever was. And we have the most important and the most powerful story that we can tell people. We don't have to say, "Well, I think the Pope might be levitating in purgatory right now," or "I think he may be given sainthood later on." No, Jesus Christ is alive forevermore, and he's seated on the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for us. And that's what he's talking about here. He's going to be with us to the end of the world. The Lord Jesus Christ is the message that we have to take to the world. And that's why we're having this week of missions to talk about that. The people in all these countries that are representing these flags in their own nation, they need to hear that Jesus is alive. We don't have to worry about having the Pope and electing a new one or something like that. Jesus has already won the election. He's never going to be voted out of office or anything like that. And so we need to remember that these Catholics, they put us to shame. They're more bold in their religion and their teachings than we are. We think about the Mormons. We think about the Jehovah's Witnesses, how they get out and share their false gospel and false doctrine and false narratives. But we won't get out and do it because we're too ashamed. I got to thinking about it the other day at work. And I was listening to somebody talking about the cross and giving descriptions of Jesus, how his visage was marred as no other man. And I got thinking about that. Jesus suffered an eternity of sin and punishment for me on the cross, and how embarrassing that could have been for him and how rough that would have been for him. And I'm too prideful in myself to just go hand somebody a gospel tract telling them about what he did on the cross of Calvary. And that kind of put me to shame. I was sitting in my office at work, and I about got convicted sitting at my desk at work, but I got thinking about that. You know, Jesus went through so much shame, and we won't take 5 minutes out of our day just to share what God's done in our hearts and lives with somebody. And that's a shame and disgrace, and that's not a good testimony for us, because people are out there searching for something and we've got exactly what they need, but we're not taking the time to talk to them that we need to. And God kind of convicted my heart about that. He said, you know, you think about the embarrassment of Jesus Christ being hung on the cross in front of everybody, his mom, his friends, his family, everybody saw him being beaten and stripped and taken to the cross. And yet we say, well, somebody might laugh at me for telling them about Jesus. Well, they won't be laughing if they get saved. And Jesus won't be laughing at you. Jesus will help you. And he says he'll be with you to the end of the world. And so it's very important that we can do our part of the commission that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to us. I want to look at a few points here. The first one is the mandate of the commission. There's a mandate of the commission here. That's the commanded work that we're supposed to do. Matthew 28:19 says, "Go ye therefore." Christ didn't just give a casual call. He gave us a clear command to share the gospel with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Great Commission isn't reserved for spiritually elite people, but it's assigned to every born again believer, and to not do it and to hesitate doing it is disobedience. But to obey and share the gospel is an honor through the heart of God. Because we talk about that, missions is the heartbeat of God, and we're sharing God's heart with people when we're telling them about that. We need to go where God sends us, we need to give what he requires of us, and we need to get involved wherever we can. Just standing around and waiting on a missionary to do it, or a pastor to do it, or somebody who's, quote, more spiritual than us to do it, is disobedience to what God has done. Every Christian is a missionary and has a mission field. There's mission fields that each and every one of you have that I might not ever come in contact with. There's some that you have that other folks may come in contact with, but we all have people that we can reach and reach out to and share the gospel with. So we have a mandated mission. There's a commanded work that we're supposed to do. It says, "Go ye therefore." And I think too often we're just sitting around maybe waiting on somebody to come up to us, but we need to go out and reach them and tell them what God's done for us and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell them that they're lost sinners, that they're on their way to hell, but do it in a kind, loving way like Jesus would, and tell them about that. And we think it's very important that we tell them about that, because we know that the coming of Christ is very soon. So we need to talk about our mandate of the mission. The second thing is the message of the mission. The message of the mission. In Mark 16:15, the Bible says, "Preach the gospel to every creature." Let's look at that in Mark chapter number 16. We've got a great message. We just need to share it. We have the mission to give that. We need to do that. The Bible says in Mark 16:15, the same occurrence, just a different written down of it. It says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And then verse 16 says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." We know people that are out there trusting what they have, but if they trust what we tell them, they can be saved. They won't be damned to hell. You know, it's very, very important. That, just a side note commentary there, verse number 16 says, "He that believeth and is baptized." It doesn't say he that is baptized for salvation like that. It says you have to believe and be baptized. Baptism, people get that out of context a lot of times too. But we have a very clear message and a clear mandate from God is to preach the gospel to every creature. You say, "I'm not a preacher." Preaching just means to proclaim and share the gospel. You don't have to get up and preach a sermon. You can live your life as a sermon in front of them and teach them what God's done for you. So it's a very, very important message that we have. The mission's message is not about ourselves or social reforms or programs or anything like that, but it's simply the salvation through the supernatural work of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross of Calvary. It's a very, very important message that we have. And God has told us, it says, "Preach the gospel to every creature." That means everybody we come in contact with. That means every person has the need and the desire, should have the desire to share the gospel, but everybody has the need to hear the gospel. You know, you think about it, you know, many of us were saved in church. I was basically born in church, raised in church. But you think about it, what if we were in this situation and we had somebody coming around us and they were saved, but they weren't sharing the gospel with us, how bad that would be, and how we could, many of us will still be in our lost states. And we don't think about that. We need to put ourselves in those people's shoes and realize that they need the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And a little bit of embarrassment for us is not going to hurt us in the long run. In fact, it might help us to be more bold if we think about what Christ did for us. Jesus was crucified for our sins, and he's buried in our place, and he's risen to give us life, and we should share that message of eternal life with the world. We also must support missionaries who preach the gospel and not a compromised version. We need to make sure the missionaries that we support are teaching the pure gospel, but we also need to do that as well. We need to make ourselves ready to give a clear, concise testimony for what God's done in our lives and share it with all the world, because we are part of the mission. The missionaries are going around the world, but we need to be here serving and faithful to God as well, because we have part of the mission to do that he has called us to do. And we ourselves must be ready to tell people about that at a moment's notice. The Bible says, be ready to give an answer to the hope that lieth in you. The hope that lieth in us is salvation and redemption through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to be ready to tell people about that, because people are going to be asking us questions. And if you pray and ask God to give you an opportunity to preach the gospel, to share the gospel with somebody, you need to be ready to do that. You need to be prepared on what you're going to say. You need to have something that God's done in your life that you can tell them about. You know, you can tell them about how you were convicted of your sin. Maybe, and you can meet with them and talk to them. Maybe y'all can talk about something that was common that you've had and how God helped you through salvation with that. There's always something that you can share. There's always somebody that you can reach, and we need to remember that. The third point is the method of the mission. It's a cooperative work. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. First Corinthians 3:9, I mentioned this a little bit earlier. It says, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. And you know, we talk about being laborers together with missionaries and each other, but this verse here says we are laborers together with God. That means God's going to enable us and empower us to do it. God's working with us, through us, and for us to do it. And now that's pretty good. You know, you think about being a co-laborer with a good missionary or something like that, but that verse says we are laborers together with God. This is a collaborative effort between the church and God to get the message of the Lord Jesus Christ out there. It's a cooperative work. That is the method of our mission, is working together with God doing this. Missions is not a solo endeavor. It's not a solo effort. It's a shared mission. God could have handled it alone if he wanted to. He could have spread the gospel all by himself, but he chose to include us as individuals in his work and allow us to be his ambassadors and share it. You know, you think about that. It's, God has all power. He could save the whole world if he wanted to just by snapping his fingers, but he chose us to be the people that get it done. And we can work together with the Lord Jesus Christ and God. And it says that we are laborers together with him. And I'm glad that God's given us an opportunity to do that. God's given us something that we have to do. The Holy Spirit's going to enable us, but we have to take that step to share the gospel with others. It's a very, very important thing. Missionaries need our prayers, our provision, and our partnership. And they also need our passion, our perseverance to fuel our own faith. Because if we're, and here's the thing, if we're being missionaries in our own world, if we're being missionaries in our own lives, we're going to even support people, want to support more missionaries. We're going to want to give more to missions because we're going to be seeing people getting saved in our own lives, and that's going to spur us on to give even more to missions. And that's another thing too. If we have people in our lives getting saved, coming into the church, then we're going to be able to have more people that are giving to missions, more people that are sharing, because it's all about building up the work of the Lord. And that's what we want to do, is bring people in so they can be saved, but then so they can also start giving to missions. And you never know, the person you may witness to may be the next missionary that gets sent out somewhere. And so it's all working together with God, but God's got to be the one that has to do that. And we've got to follow his method, not try to do it on our own. We can't just go out and just start, oh, I'm going to pass out a few tracts today and bless them if you can. No, we've got to realize that we're working with the Almighty Creator of the universe, God. He's our laborer together, and he's working with us to build up his church and his ministry. And I'm thankful that we have the opportunity to do that through the radio station, through missionaries, through personal evangelism, through just talking to people. You know, you come in contact with thousands of people every week. You see people at Walmart. If you go there, I'm sorry. But if you see people at work, you see people just on the street. There's so many people that we can witness to and share the gospel with. And we need to tap into the almighty power that Jesus talked about. He said, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. That means that power that he talked about is inside of us right now to give that great commission. And we need to do that. And we need to pray fervently for our laborers on the field. We need to provide sacrificially through what we have. But we also need to participate personally by going if God calls us, or by doing what he's called us to do right here. God may call somebody in this church to be a missionary to a foreign field, and that'd be great if he did, and I'd be all for it, and I'd support that. But God's already called us to do something. He's called us to our personal field, and he's also called us to support and give to those people. And that's why that faith promise is so important, because we need to provide sacrificially to help them. And the more we provide sacrificially, the more God's going to bless us to do even more. And I'm thankful for the opportunity to do that. I'm glad that God's given us the commission to work together. Number four is the might of the mission. It's a certain certain witness. Matthew 28:20 says, "Lo, I am with you always." We have God's word that He's going to be with us. We don't work in our own wisdom. We don't walk in our own strength. We don't war with our own weapons. We war with spiritual weapons. The unfailing, unchanging, unshakable presence of God is our constant confidence when we're going through this. When our shout, we go out and we're sharing the gospel and we're shouting it out and we're proclaiming it, our faith's got to be holding firm because we know that God's with us and doing it. And when we're tempted to quit or be downtrodden or say, well, nothing's happening with that, we need to cling to that promise and remember that God has promised to be with us. It's a very, very strong promise. And when missionaries grow weary, we need to encourage them and remind them of that. You know, that's something that we need to, I think our church does a good job of, but maybe even do more of, is to just send encouraging messages to our missionaries and let them know that we're praying for them and that we're working here and laboring with them together. And, you know, sometimes we just think that our money's enough, but our prayers need to be even more, and also our encouragement to them when they're here and when they're doing that. You know, we do think about Brother Sullivan over there in South Africa. You know, I was thinking about that the other day. What would I do if something like that happened to me? I might not like that too much. I don't think I'd be too enthused with that. But God let that happen for a specific reason, and I'm hoping and looking for it to make His ministry grow and be even more powerful and strong for what the Lord's done, because God can do that. But here's the thing. God knew that was going to happen, and see, what we need to think about and thank God for is that our prayers were answered, that He was delivered. That right there should show us that praying for our missionaries is very important, because we prayed for him and God delivered him. We don't know right now what one of our missionaries may be going through. There may be another missionary who's getting ready to get abducted, or there may be another missionary who's getting ready to quit, or there may be a missionary who's discouraged because they're not seeing anything happen. But if we pray for them and tap into the strength that God's given them and has given us, then we can see things happen. You know, I was talking yesterday, I was talking to Crystal, we were talking about, you know, people in church and stuff that maybe not see things happening. And I told her, I said, you think about Moses building the ark, and people would say Moses wasn't very successful because he preached for 100 years and nobody got saved but his family. But he was successful because he got his family in and God had empowered him. And there's probably missionaries right now thinking, I've been over here for 20, 30 years. I'm not seeing anything happen. But if they have their family together and they're still doing what God's called them to do, then that's the most important thing. They're still warning the world. It's not up to us to make people receive it. It's up to us to give it out and let them receive it. And Noah was called and he built the ark. He wasn't successful by the world standards, but he still was going forward for 100 years. He preached the gospel every day. He said the judgment's coming. God's going to flood the earth. God's going to take it out. And people will say, well, Noah didn't have anybody. Well, he was still faithful. He was very empowered by God because he had an overwhelming mission that he had to do. Nobody had ever built a boat before. Noah was the first person to ever build a boat. And God said, I'm going to flood the earth, but God empowered him to do it. And he may not have seen great success, but his faithfulness, it was an encouragement to other people. And we need to be faithful to our mission here, but also be faithful to tell our missionaries that we're praying for them and to be powerful for them, because we know that it's a very, very dangerous situation that a lot of them are in, and we need to pray for them. We need to pray for ourselves as well, that we'll be more mindful of what God's done for us, because we have a very, very powerful God that's helping us with that. And, you know, I think too often we base success on numbers of salvations and maybe different things like that. But if that missionary is there and he's steady planting churches and sharing the gospel and getting the seed out, then he's a success. It doesn't matter how many people get saved. Now, that's the most important thing, is seeing people get saved. But the faithfulness and tapping into what God's called us to do is what's important. And, you know, there's missionaries that we have that are in very, very difficult fields that it's hard to reach people. There's a lot of Catholicism, a lot of false teachings, a lot of religion there. And they may not see countless people get saved. And I think sometimes we say, well, they're not doing anything. No, they're doing a lot. And we needed to do that as well, because we think about here in our own country, we may witness to 100 people and not see anybody get saved, but we did what we're supposed to do. And it's very important that we tap into that strength that God's given us, because we have a might of the mission. The might of the mission is God being with us and helping us and guiding us and directing us. We have the Holy Spirit of God, and we need to remember to pray for our missionaries even more, because we think about how it is here in America where we have freedom of religion and freedom to tell people, but there's a lot of places they don't have that kind of freedom. They don't have the ability to do that. We think about missionaries like in North Korea and China and things like that. Imagine how hard it is to witness there. you know, and think about the power they have to tap into and the faith they have to have. Victory is assured not because of the messenger, but because of the message. The message is what's important. The ability of the messenger is not important because we're finite people. We can't do anything without the empowering of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why I think that he told them there in Matthew chapter number 28, when he first, before he ever said anything, Jesus said that all power is given unto me into heaven, because he knew that they were going to need it. He knew that they couldn't do anything on their own. He knew that he had something for them. Number five is the motivation of the mission. The motivation of the mission, the compelling worth. Now let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians 5 verse number 14 says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto ourselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." That's what we need to do right there. That's the compelling worth. That verse 14 says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." That means the love of Christ should constrain, should pull us and motivate us to want to share the love of Christ with other people. And verse number 15 says, "For that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves." A missionary, somebody sharing the gospel, is not going to be living for themselves. They're going to be living for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I think what that verse there is talking about, it said we should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. We need to be living for the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't need to be living for ourselves. We need to have that. Love is a supreme motive. We're not driven by guilt or duty or the applause of men, but we should be driven by the overwhelming gratitude of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary. We shouldn't live to ourselves. If we say nobody's going to like me, somebody's going to make fun of me, that's living under ourselves. That's living to being selfish and prideful, that somebody may think, well, we're a Jesus freak. And I'm okay with being called a Jesus freak, because that means I love Jesus and he's the most important thing that happened to me. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. Sometimes I act like I am, but I'm not. I'm not ashamed, because the Lord Jesus Christ died for me. You know, if you think about it, if you were drowning and somebody jumped in a pool and drowned for you so you could get out, you would be very thankful for that person. You'd want to tell everybody about them and share that story with them. That's what Jesus did. He jumped into the world and he took our hell on the cross of Calvary. He bled and died for all of our sins, so we should be very willing to tell somebody about them. Jesus should be our hero, and we should want to tell everybody about him. Jesus should be the most important thing. It should be the first thing on our mouth every morning when we get up. I have the problem. I like sports and I know stats and I can tell you every champion from then, every time and everything that's ever happened, but those people aren't worth anything. I should be able to tell you about when Jesus came and died on the cross and what he lived and how he saved people and the miracles that he did on the cross of Calvary. That should be the statistics that I share with people. That should be the motivation I have. Those men that are sports figures, they didn't die for me. They're not my heroes. I don't love them, but I talk more about them than I do about the man who gave his life for me, who loved me more than anything else. And so he came to this world to die for me. And so if I want to share a story with somebody, I need to share them the love of Jesus Christ, the supreme love that he had for us. And we don't need to be doing it for the applause of men. We don't need to get in and say, well, I shared the gospel with 15 people today. No, the gospel and personal evangelism is something that we need to do on our own time. And we need to have the overwhelming love of Christ in our lives to tell them about it. And we need to let the flame of his love ignite our faithfulness. We need to let his sacrifice shape our service. We need to let his heart for the world stir our heart to be driven toward the world to give them the gospel. We need to go. We need to give. And we need to give for souls to be saved, because that's what Jesus Christ came to the earth to do, was to save souls. The Great Commission is truly a co-mission. Christ is our companion. He said, "I'm with you always." Missionaries are our co-laborers. They depend on our faithful partnership. And the lost are our calling. They are awaiting the message that we have to bring. So it's truly a co-mission. We are working together with our missionaries, and most importantly, with the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the message that we have to give. And so when he's working through us, we can see many, many things done. But I don't want us, and I don't want myself to get too wrapped up in thinking that it's only the missionaries that can do it, because I think I've been guilty of that myself, is thinking, well, they're called to do that. That's their ministry. I'll send them some money and then I'll be okay. That's not how it is. We're called to do everything. Like I said, we're expecting our missionaries to do something that we won't do. We're safe. Many of them are not. We're at home. We're comfortable with our family. They're uprooting everything and moving overseas and going to a strange land and learning a new language. And they have to overcome so many obstacles to be able to share the gospel with people that they don't even like them. And yet we're sitting here in America, the most free country in the world. We don't have to learn a new language. We are around people all the time. And we have the freedom to do that, and yet we're not willing to share the gospel. We're not willing to carry our part of that co-mission to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and to share the gospel. And that's really something I've been thinking about a lot lately, is being too comfortable waiting on somebody else to do my job. You know? And if you get in that situation, then God's not going to use you. And I want to be used by God. I don't want God to use somebody else in my place. I want God to be able to use me to carry out my part of that co-mission. And we're working together. That's what our church is for, is to send out missionaries, but also to be a missionary to our community. There's hundreds of thousands of people around this area that don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And we have that to tell them. And the Bible says to go into Jerusalem and Samaria and other most parts of the world. And our Jerusalem is right here in Orangeburg, South Carolina. That's where it's supposed to start from. If we don't reach our Jerusalem, then how are we going to reach the world? Because it'd be a shame and disgrace for people over in Africa to be getting saved by the hundreds and thousands of people in Orangeburg dying and going to hell every night. That'd be very sad to see. And we think about the Rose Festival coming up next week. I want to encourage some of y'all to come out there to the Rose Festival. We're trying to reach people, passing out tracts, giving out Bibles, giving out information about the radio station, and reaching our people here in our community. There's people in Orangeburg that need to hear about Jesus. And I haven't done enough to tell them about it. And there's people that have died and gone to hell because I hadn't shared the gospel with them. And that's a shame on me, and that's a shame on us for not telling them. And we think about how Jesus suffered and died on the cross for us, and we're too proud to tell somebody about it. And, you know, if we think about how he died for us and how he suffered for us, it's not that hot outside. It's hot right now, but hell's a lot hotter. If we get a glimpse of how hot hell is and how our family's going there and our community and our people we have, we can be a lot better witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, because we need to think about that, because the reality is that hell is a real place and our family's going to go there, and our coworkers and people we know and our friends, they're going to go there if we don't tell them, but we don't seem to care too much about that. We really don't. And it's a sad state that we're living in. And I think that if we remember that hell is a real place and we were bound to go there, we were supposed to go there, but by the grace of God, he got us out. That should be a very, very motivating thing for us to share and tell other people about it. So remember, you're part of the mission, that you're called to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the most important mission that we have on the earth. And we need to remember that. All right. Thank y'all.